Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 57 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm your host, Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
The studies are suggesting around the world that it's safer to return to school than we thought.
Rowan County Board of Education has voted to return to 5 days a week of in-person classes.
Governor Andy Beshear says a possible relapse in the count of COVID-19 death will be corrected.
Some Kentucky businesses will be allowed to have more people inside this weekend.
Two Kentucky teens are helping with the process of signing up residents for the COVID-19 vaccine.
Work to reform foster care is getting a boost from a new federal law.
In sports, Moorhead State's men basketball heads to the OVC tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 32 degrees. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Rowan County Board of Education voted during a special called board meeting on Tuesday to return to 5 days a week in-person classes beginning on March 22nd. School officials say the latest Kentucky Department of Education Healthy at School guidance will be followed for those choosing the in-person option. Currently, the school year will end for all students on May 19th. Board member Scott Davison has reservations about returning since he says the district's teacher participation rate for vaccination was low.
I'm not an expert in the medicine here. I think the studies are suggesting around the world that it's safer to return to school than we thought. I did consult Dr. Milan, who heads the local county efforts about this, and he thought it was better to be safer if we had more people participate in the vaccination program. So I have hesitations about this. It makes me a little bit nervous.
A virtual option will be offered for those wishing to learn remotely for the remainder of the school year.
Moorhead State University is planning to host an in-person commencement in May. Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Greg Russell, made the announcement during a WebEx meeting with faculty and staff Tuesday. Russell says the event will be held May 8th.
We're going to have three in-person ceremonies. So we will not be virtual, for this particular commencement day. Could afford us some in-person opportunities there. We're going to have those three ceremonies will include one for the College of Science, one for the Colorado College, and then the Volgeno and Smith College will be combined so that we end up with about the same number of students in each of those ceremonies.
The event will be held outdoors at Jane Stadium, and graduates will be allowed 2 guests each. It will be moved inside Johnson Arena if there is inclement weather.
Governor Andy Beshear says a possible lapse in the counting of COVID-19-related deaths will be corrected, but the state is far from alone in dealing with the problem. Kentucky is currently reviewing all COVID-19-linked deaths recorded since the pandemic began after learning that staff in charge of reviewing those numbers stopped cross-checking health department data against death certificate information last November. The governor said the omission started amid the state's third and most dramatic surge in coronavirus cases.
When we see the vast number of deaths with the same number of people to sort through them, and they got overwhelmed by just the amount reported from the local health department. But it's certainly you don't stop doing the other piece, and it should have been caught. It's happened in just about every other state that I've talked to.
The oversight means Kentucky's current COVID-19 death toll may be off, and the governor is pledging that the state will not rest until all losses are properly counted. Meanwhile, Kentucky's daily reported deaths remain higher than prior to the surge, though other indicators are trending down.
Some Kentucky businesses will be allowed to have more people inside this weekend. A change from 50 to 60% capacity was announced Monday. Sean Abbott is the owner of Bluegrass Tavern in Lexington. He tells WKYT he believes the state's heading in the right direction, but is unsure how much of an impact the change will have.
While maintaining the 6-foot distancing or attempting to, for a lot of businesses, that won't really allow them to increase their capacity much.
While vaccinations continue to roll out, public health officials are warning against loosening restrictions now, with more variants causing illness across the country.
Kentucky businesses, healthcare providers, and other entities would be shielded from lawsuits over COVID-19 exposures under a bill okayed by the state Senate on Monday. The high priority bill would extend legal protections for businesses, except in cases of, quote, wanton, willful, malicious, or grossly negligent conduct. It's a bar some fear is too high and will prevent valid litigation from moving forward. But the bill's lead sponsor, Senate President Robert Stivers, argued the state must clear a path for businesses and organizations to get back to operating, or else Kentucky risks becoming dependent on limited federal aid.
Weaning ourselves from the federal dollars and getting our people back to work, this economic dynamic cannot continue nor survive. So we must take every step possible to help our businesses get started.
Opponents worry the bill is too broadly written and argue that Kentucky has yet to see the rash of virus-related lawsuits the protections are designed to stop. The bill will need to be reconciled with a similar House version.
Two Kentucky teens are helping with the process of signing up residents for the COVID vaccine. As of Monday, the new 1C phase opened, which include those over 60 and anyone who is 16 or older with high-risk conditions. Jacqueline Teague tells Wave 3 News she started by helping her grandparents sign up to receive the vaccine.
As the process was really hard for them and people of that age group who just aren't quite as computer literate.
The teens have helped over 800 people sign up for the vaccine in Kentucky.
Work to reform foster care is getting a boost from a new federal law. The Family First Prevention Services Act will be implemented this fall and provides federal funding for programs and services for family preservation. Rob Myers is the deputy director for Stark County Children's Services in Ohio. He says the law will use evidence-based prevention interventions in order to keep families together.
In the past, it was kind of remove first, plan later. This is shifting that perspective so that we're looking at what level of intervention is necessary.
Stark County is part of a 7-county pilot project starting in April that will test Ohio's system for assessing prevention services ahead of the upcoming funding changes.
Governor Andy Beshear got to see some of the damage caused by historic flooding during a trip to Murray on Tuesday. The Kentucky Guard did a flyover with the governor over Callaway County. Beshear tells LAX 18, 29 different counties and 7 cities have declared their own states of emergency, showing the extensive impact of the flooding.
And I'm here today to promise that the state is going to do everything it can to be a good partner in moving forward, in digging out, and in rebuilding.
There is a lot of cleanup and rebuilding ahead, but Beshear expects help from the federal government to aid in the process.
Contractors will place the final steel beams for the new Kentucky 244 Russell Viaduct replacement bridge this week. WMKY's Heather Fannin has more.
Traffic will be stopped up to 15 minutes at a time on all lanes of US 23 in Greenup County this week. Motorists should expect delays and significant traffic backups on the US 23 and the Ironton Russell Bridge. Alternate routes suggested include US 52 through Ohio via the Greenup Locks and Dam or Ashland Bridges. Local traffic may use Kentucky 207 through Flatwoods. The project is part of the $20.6 million Russell Viaduct replacement project. For WMKY News, I'm Heather Fannin.
A Moorhead man pled not guilty to murder charges this morning. 42-year-old Gary Jeffries was arraigned in Round District Court this morning. Jeffries was arrested in December in connection with the murder of Jill Clayton. Her remains were found in an area near Wolf Hollow Road in Moorhead nearly 2 weeks after she was last seen by family members. Jeffries is charged with murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abuse of a corpse. No bond has been set. The court assigned public defender Adrian Jacob to represent Jeffries. The pretrial conference and preliminary hearing will be held Monday, March 8th at 2 p.m.
The Kentucky State Police Critical Incident Response Team is investigating an officer-involved shooting that took place in Morgan County. At approximately 11 p.m. on Saturday, a KSP trooper stopped a vehicle for a traffic violation. KSP requested additional assistance from Morgan County Sheriff's Department and West Liberty Police Department. As the situation progressed, the incident resulted in a West Liberty Police Department officer discharging their agency firearm, fatally striking the subject. The suspect was pronounced dead on the scene by the Morgan County coroner. At the request of the West Liberty Police Department, KSP's Critical Incident Response Team is conducting an investigation into the incident. Timelines to complete investigations vary based on the complexity of the case. No officers or members of the community were injured during this incident.
Martin County 911 dispatchers say a body was found Tuesday in the Lovely area. The Martin County coroner says the body of a 40-year-old female was found in a ditch along Route 292 near Riverfront Road. The coroner tells WSAZ a passerby discovered the body Tuesday afternoon. The body is now en route to Louisville for an autopsy. Other details are unavailable now, including the nature of how the person died.
Police are asking for help in finding the body of a missing woman in Williamsburg. WYMT reports Laura Anderson went missing in February of 2018, but police now believe her to be dead. They have arrested one man in connection with her disappearance, but say while they continue to look into leads in the case, they have not been able to make any other arrests. Anyone with information about the case is asked to contact the Williamsburg Police Department.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, tonight it's mostly clear with a low around 32. On Thursday, it's sunny with a high near 48. On Thursday night, it's clear with a low around 26. On Friday, it's sunny with a high near 43. On Friday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 24. On Saturday, it's sunny with a high near 45. On Saturday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 25 degrees.
On our feature segment today, God's Pantry Food Bank received 2,500 pounds of produce from a local high-tech farm. WMKY's Josh Grogan has the story.
God's Food Pantry provides food resource assistance to over 400 food pantry meal programs across 50 counties in Kentucky. The food bank distributes over 36 million meals to families in need each year. Representatives from the pantry say more than 250,000 kids, adults, and seniors across central and eastern Kentucky don't know where their next meal will come from. CEO of God's Pantry, Michael Holligan, says the organization receives different kinds of products from all kinds of different companies.
We work directly with food manufacturers. We work directly with wholesalers. We are bringing product into our service area, whether it be product that's available locally, whether it be product that's regional, or even whether it's product that's national.
App Harvest donated 2,500 pounds of tomatoes to the pantry last month. Holligan says it's important to receive fresh produce.
We've had many conversations with App Harvest about our ongoing relationship. The reason why that's important is the nutritional value of fresh produce versus other foods that may have more processing characteristics to them. It adds to our nutritional value. It helps folks that are hungry have flexibility in their diet.
Only a third of the donations they receive are fresh produce, which are eventually distributed to families.
Is it about a third of the product that we donated? So I talked about 43 million pounds earlier. A third of that is fresh produce. And much of that is Kentucky-grown produce. So we're helping farmers and businesses here in Kentucky. We're accessing those goods and getting it to people who may otherwise not be able to afford it.
The pantry follows a certain process when they receive donations from companies like App Harvest to get in the hands of people in need.
We've actually seen an increase in requests for food support from those that are, who are hungry by as much as 20 to 35% in a given week. So not only are we distributing food and more food, but we are seeing much greater need.
Holligan says the COVID pandemic has increased the amount of donation requests from families. A donation opportunity is coming up. God's Pantry Food Bank is hosting a Chili Wars virtual food drive through February 26 to support Moorhead's Regional Distribution Center. For more information on how to donate to the event, visit godspantry.org/events/chiliwars. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Moorhead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Moorhead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 57 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports coming up, but first, I just want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Wednesday evening.
The MSU men head to the OVC tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State men's basketball team will face off with Southeastern Missouri tonight in the first round of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament. The Eagles are the number two seed going into the tournament, and they beat SEMO twice during regular season play. Still, head coach Preston Spradlin says the Red Hawks will come into the game fighting.
To their credit, they're playing really well. They've won four of their last five, had a really good close win on Saturday at SIUE. So they're playing really well down the stretch here. As you know, that's what you want to be doing coming into the conference tournament. You want to be playing your best basketball. And I think both of us, SEMO and us right now, are both doing that. So it should be a really fun matchup.
Tip-off in Evansville, Indiana is set for 10:30 p.m. Live coverage and stats can be found at MSUEagles.com. The Morehead State volleyball team is working to keep their winning streak alive. The Eagles are currently undefeated with 8 wins on the season. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says they'll face off with Tennessee Tech this weekend.
They have some really strong returners. One of their outsides was first team all-conference, and they are a team that is well-coached, very scrappy, and always gives us a good match.
Game time in Cookeville, Tennessee is set for 8 p.m. on Sunday. Down to their final 6 outs, but trailing just 2-0 at Louisville Tuesday, Morehead State baseball shocked the college baseball world by rallying for 5 runs and knocking off the number one team in the nation 5-2 at Jim Patterson Stadium. Louisville had just received the top billing in the nation by Perfect Game Monday, but Morehead State's pitchers, 8 of them, only allowed 9 hits, while the Cardinals' runs only came on an RBI groundout and a bases-loaded walk. The Eagles won their second straight game after beginning the season at 0-5. Louisville slipped to 6-2. MSU also halted a 20-game losing streak to U of L, with the last win over their in-state foes coming back in 2000. Morehead State will have a 3-game set against Marshall this weekend. The Eagles and the Herd play Friday at 1 p.m. at Marshall before the home opener at Allen Field, set for Saturday at 1 p.m. Not getting any downtime after a tough game against Franklin County, the Round County Senior High School girls basketball team is back on the road this evening. The girls in green beat the Lady Flyers last night 72-66. The Viking will be in Paris to take on the Lady Hounds, who come into the game at 13-4 on the season. Coach Matt Stokes says the matchup is a good test for his team in more ways than one.
We picked that one up pretty late. You know, they're a good 10th region team, very athletic. We're gonna see what we're made of, trying to play 2 games against very athletic teams back-to-back nights and see how we can handle it.
Tip-off in Paris this evening is set for 6 p.m. In other high school girls basketball action tonight, Fairview hosts Cordia, Morgan County hosts Elliott County, Fleming heads to Madison Southern. In boys basketball action tonight, Fleming hosts Ashland Blazer, and Boyd County travels to Montgomery County. All of tonight's games are set to tip off at 7:30 p.m. And finally in sports this afternoon, the Rowan County boys basketball team is back in the gym this evening as they prepare to take on the Boyd County Lions tomorrow evening. The team is coming off a road contest against Robertson County where they picked up a win 52-51. Now as the Vikings get ready for Boyd County, head coach Sean Thacker says the game has been a long time coming in a season that has been significantly impacted by the pandemic.
We are playing Thursday, and it'll be here, and that's the game that's the only game that we'll play with them. You know, we were going to try to play them twice. It was our year for the home game, so that's why we moved that game into Thursday.
Tip-off in Rowan tomorrow evening is set for 7:30. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials took a hit today, although tech stocks were actually hit harder as higher interest rates spelled trouble for the tech sector today. The Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 121.43 at 31,270.09. The S&P 500 was down 50.57 at 3819.72. And the NASDAQ Composite, because of the weakness in tech stocks, fell the most of the major indices, down 361.04 at 12,997.75. And in the tech sector, the tech heavyweights all very weak today, with Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google down over 2% each, and Netflix was down 5%. The 10-year Treasury bond did rise 8 basis points to finish at 1.49%. And, of course, these higher rates are considered trouble for tech and higher growth companies. On the other hand, companies more attuned with the reopening of the economy did quite well today. American Airlines was up 3.4%, and Carnival Cruise Lines was up 3.9%, and Norwegian Cruise Lines finished with a gain of just over 6%. And the energy sector itself was very strong, finishing with a gain of 1.4%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down $1.07 at $91.09, AEP down 13 cents at $76.32, Marathon Petroleum up 4 cents at $56.07, App Harvest down $1.84 at $28.56, Community Trust Bank up $1.01 at $42.66, and Humana was down $3.69 to finish at $382.61. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, it's sunny with a high near 48. On Thursday night, it's clear with lows around 26. On Friday, it's sunny with a high near 43. On Friday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 24. On Saturday, it's sunny with a high near 45. And on Saturday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 25 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Leanne Akers, Jonathan Burton, Heather Fannin, Carla Haight, and Sarah Mead. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Josh Grogan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.